Let's get into the Word. Leviticus chapter 15 this morning. Leviticus chapter 15. We'll be taking this chapter in its entirety on Wednesday night. I want to focus on the first part of this chapter, though, this morning. Begin with verse 1, Leviticus chapter 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness. Every bed whereupon he lieth, that issue hath been, it is unclean. Everything whereupon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that sitteth on anything whereupon he sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that toucheth the flesh of him that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And what saddle soever he rideth upon that hath the issue shall be unclean, and whatsoever toucheth anything that was under him shall be unclean until the evening, and he that beareth any of these things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whomsoever he toucheth that hath the issue and hath not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And verse 12, the vessel of earth that he toucheth, which hath the issue, shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take to him 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto the priest. In verse 15, the priest shall offer them, the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. And Father, we pray today for wisdom and for your Spirit to instruct our hearts today. Give us, Lord, understanding. Help the Word be, Lord, so empowered to our hearts by your Spirit that, Lord, we can't ignore it, that we can't shake it off, that we can't let it roll off our backs. But, Lord, may it make an impact on our hearts today. May it be so in this place, Lord, that your Word is impacting us and changing our hearts. May it be today, Lord, that way for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, in chapter 13 and 14, we've been looking at the condition of leprosy. We saw how even though leprosy started off real small, a real teeny spot, or as the word says, a rising up of the flesh, perhaps a sore or whatever, it started small. And after a time, the person that had the leprosy, if it truly was leprosy, would lose sensitivity in their limbs, in their fingers, in their nerve endings. And then the leprosy would spread and keep spreading and eventually take over a person's whole life. And ultimately, they would die. It was a brutal, awful, hideous disease. And leprosy, as we've been talking about, was a picture of sin. And how it does the same exact thing, starts small. And then if it continues on, the person loses sensitivity to it and to others and allows that sin to spread and infect the whole life of the person. And ultimately, it will kill you, sin will. The wages of sin is what? Death. You'll die. Sin will take you down, you see. And so leprosy, as it was this hideous disease that a person had, would obviously become something very noticeable. And you could not hide the fact that you were a leper for very long because it disfigured you physically. Just as sin, folks, will disfigure you spiritually. And oftentimes, it'll do that physically as well, won't it? We see this over and over again. But this is the thing. The leprosy we've been talking about was something that a person couldn't keep quiet or couldn't keep secret for very long, because once, obviously, it progressed to a certain level, it would become too plain. Everybody would know that you had it. Right? And that's the way it is for sinners. Now, it's funny because so often everybody else might know you're a sinner even when you don't think you are. It becomes obvious to others oftentimes before it becomes obvious to you. But everybody can see at some point that you have leprosy, this obvious outward sin that's taken over. But here in the 15th chapter of Leviticus, we see something a little bit different. This chapter deals with issues, running issues, ongoing issues that concerned the private parts of a person's life. These running issues affected men and women, as we will see throughout this chapter. But folks, these issues could be camouflaged. These issues could be kept secret for an undetermined amount of time. These issues were secretive in many respects, and they may be even more dangerous than the leprosy we've been dealing with in the last few weeks. The outward, obvious sin in a person's life. The running issue could be hidden, and it may be more dangerous than the blatant, obvious ones. Why? Why is that true? Well, we often don't feel the need to change that part of us that no one else sees. Oh, we'll always deal with and address the obvious outward failings and sins of our life, won't we? Because everybody knows that they're there. And when we realize that everybody knows that they're there and can see them, well, then we need to deal with them. But the reason these are what we would call running issues, I love the King James here, so descriptive, is that they go on and on and on because, frankly, nobody really sees them, we think. And even though a person might be able to keep these issues secret, so to speak, in their own mind, they are still, listen, they were still unclean because of the issue. And their defilement had an adverse effect on others. Your secret sins, your secret issues, folks, affect others just as much as the outward leprosy that is obvious in your life. The things that are under the surface will defile and poison just like the outward, obvious, sinful things that we take notice of first, or more easily, you might say. This is the revealing chapter of the hidden man of the heart. What's hidden inside you? What's really going on deep within you? And these are ongoing issues that plague the lives of so many people. And they are disguised many times under the private covering, you see, of the hidden part. And that, perhaps, you see, is something you don't think people see or notice. But oh, how wrong we are. How wrong we are when we think that way. Now, just in case you're wondering, you're thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Running issues. Well, in the literal physical sense, these running issues would be all kinds of things, which we'll talk about on Wednesday night in more detail. But they're physical running issues. They could be sores. They could be venereal disease. We'll see that in the women, it was their menstrual period. I know it sounds kind of stark and hideous to talk about that on Sunday morning. But listen, this is the Bible, folks. This is what's going on. And all these things physically that are going on in this particular text, in this particular chapter, do not really deal with the physical running issue. They deal with the spiritual running issue of people's lives. And these are the important parts to look at. We'll take a better in-depth look at all the things on Wednesday night. This, though, look at it this way. Spiritually speaking, a running issue is the fluid of your flesh. It's the fluid that comes from fleshliness. Well, that sounds gross. It is. It's defiling. It's defilement. The things that flow run out of our flesh is what's being dealt with here. Running issues. Now notice something. Verse 2 says, when any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. Rather descriptive when you look at this. Running issues coming from a man's flesh describes what comes out of an infection. It describes what comes out of an infected heart or any infected thing. Have you ever had an infection? You ever had a boil? No? Everybody's like, a real bad, something that got really, really infected. Maybe you got a splinter and it got infected. You know what I mean? And this thing gets bigger and bigger. And then what happens eventually? Pus comes out of that thing. Green stuff comes pouring out of there. It's just gross. And you've had them, perhaps. I have, you know, boils and infections, and they're just nasty. Well, that is what a running issue is all about in this particular context in the first part of this chapter. It's an infection. It's something that is rotten. Putrid, and what's in there, you see, will run out. That's the running issue. And even though a person thinks it's his own private thing, you see, and many times, of course, the running issues came from the private parts of the body. So it was hidden, private, you see. None of your business what runs out of my flesh. But even though you think it's secret, it infects and it corrupts others around you. Jesus said it like this. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man, Jesus said there in Matthew 15. He was being accused of not washing ceremonially in his disciples their hands before they ate. And Jesus said, well, that doesn't defile you. What defiles you is what's in your heart that comes running out. An infected heart that's full of green stuff It comes pouring out. That's what defiles a man. And he describes some of those things, you see. Folks, watch what comes out from your heart. Especially when you think others aren't watching or listening. See, most of us would say, well, I don't really belong in that list Jesus just gave. I'm not a murderer or an adulterer or whatever. I'm not a thief. Well, it's interesting to me that what Jesus places right in the middle of his description is a false witness. What is that? What is a false witness? Well, let me ask you, do you ever talk about people? Do you ever bring people up in conversations? Do you say different things with your mouth depending upon who's listening? Do you bear the same witness no matter who's around or not? Does the content of your conversation change based upon who's there and who's not? Because, you see, that is being a false witness. And it comes from the same heart, listen, the same corrupt, defiled heart, Jesus says, as a thief, a murderer, an adulterer, whoever. You might say, well, I'm not one of them. Well, if you're a false witness, you're in the group. You're in the clan. You're part of the club. Whee! I'm part of that club. Because I've been a false witness, you see. These are the running issues in a person's life. And they consist so often of bitterness and envy and jealousy and hurt feelings and secret sins of the heart. All these can contribute to that infection that goes on inside that will eventually ooze out and get on other people that will cause a vile poisoning on those who are affected by it. Jesus warned his disciples about this when he spoke about the Pharisees, if you recall. The Pharisees were those that pretended to be holy and spiritually, but all the while they spread poison. They were poisonous with their speech. They were totally hateful, bitter, angry men. And they totally defiled anybody that was around. How dangerous they were. Jesus was the one enemy they really had. He had more trouble with the spiritual hierarchy than he did anybody else on this earth when he ministered. Those that said they were righteous and holy and yet were full of green pus, so to speak, that would ooze out upon everybody that they met. The Apostle Paul said this about the similar type of people we might run into, sadly, that we might have been. Sadly, that some of us are. He said in 2 Timothy 2, he said, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their words will eat as doth a canker," or their sharing, what they say, will spread like gangrene. An infectious thing. It's, folks, probably one of the biggest problems that I can recognize as tearing down and tearing apart the church. It was what the problem with the Jews' church, so to speak, the Judaism traditions and all the rest, the problems came from their leaders who did this very thing, who spoke profane babblings, and their words would eat people up like cancer, like gangrene. And I wonder, does what you say occasionally eat people up? Does it eat people? Does it cause them to feel like they've just been poisoned? Here's the reality that is really arresting me lately. We are all preachers. Nuh-uh, you say, you're the preacher. I'm not a preacher. Oh, yes, you are, you see. We all preach. We preach every day in our own way. Every day when you live your life, you're preaching a message of some sort. You're having some kind of influence on people around you. You're preaching some message. And the question is, what are you preaching? What is it that you're preaching? So often we need to hear ourselves. Hear what we're saying. Hear how we say it. Hear who we're saying it to and who we're not. And honestly, folks, just as this text implies, sadly, if our hearts are infected, everything we touch can be defiled. Everything in our life can be affected by our infection. And that's everything. You know, notice there in verse 4, he says every bed where that person lies on. Hey, his bed was contaminated. What do you mean? Well, a man with running issues, you see, and this can go any direction you want to take it. You can put your own stamp on this baby if you want to. It may not be for you the issue of your running mouth. It may be some other issue, a secret sin, a quiet sin, something that's going on that you're just keeping under the surface. Nobody really knows about it. But this tells us that every part of your life will be affected by it. The person's bed, you see, who has a running issue. Perhaps there's a sin in a man's life that he just isn't dealing with. Well, when he lays in his bed at night, he will sit there, he will lay there and recount his sin, perhaps, with lustful pleasure and entertain his thoughts over and over again, and that bed becomes defiled. It's a running issue. It goes on and on, you see. And in verse 6, it says the places you sit. Well, what does that mean? Your chairs? Could be. When you sit down, generally you're sitting down with people to visit, to talk, to have conversation. And your conversation, if you have running issues, you will poison the conversation. The words you speak will be infected. You'll sit down with people and your chair will become defiled because you'll start talking about them or him or her or this church. About him up there. Always tells bad jokes. Whatever, your conversation can become really infected if you have running issues within you. And even in verse 8 it says, you might find yourself spitting on people and they become infected. Well, what does that mean? Oh, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Once in a while when I'm up here speaking, I notice little spit balls go flying out of my mouth. I don't try and do that, obviously. It's not something I'm working on, you know, see how many times a spitball can come flying out of my mouth while I'm teaching. But it just happens. And, you know, that's why we gave so much room here in front. You probably wouldn't want to be sitting where these steps are. It would be ugly, you see. But so often people spew on people. And the person that gets spewed on by that unclean heart gets defiled. In verse 9, the saddle. Picturing the places you go, where you travel. Get on your horse and ride, you know. The saddle representing where you go, who you visit. Wherever you go, you seem to spread this ugly defilement, this poisonous stuff. And I find it interesting that this is the issue so often that we face. What do you mean? I mean, I'm getting kind of discouraged today. I know, it's kind of discouraging. Have you ever met somebody like this? Have you ever met somebody, ever known somebody, ever been around somebody that everything they say is poison? Everything they do is, there's an ulterior motive to it. People who pretend like they're blessing you, but in reality they're teaching you a lesson. They've got something else up their sleeve and you know it and it feels crummy. Their heart isn't right. Let me tell you something about blessing, folks. When you really intend to bless somebody, they will be blessed. If you're not intending to bless somebody, but you're pretending to, you're pharisaical, and the person's going to feel burdened, bummed, defiled, poisoned. It's interesting to me, in this particular context, this is one of those studies I sat there and pondered and chewed on and said, maybe I'll skip this chapter. You know, when you start getting to running issues, it's like, what in the world are we going to do with that? Wow, you see. It's one of those chapters you just as soon pass up. But as I studied and got into this, it really opened up to me something that blew my mind again. Folks, I find it fascinating that as Christians, as people who are born again, who are believers in Jesus, I find it interesting that so often we will confess things about our deliverance from something that's gone on a long time ago. We'll find ourselves confessing sins that we were delivered from years back, you see. But we don't usually confess sins in the present tense. You see, it was Seneca who said this: why is there no man who confesses his vices? It is because he has not yet laid them aside. It is a waking man only who can tell his dreams. The private parts of a life, oh, not just the obvious stuff that people see and identify as leprosy, but the secret sins, that part of your life that really isn't visible. It can be a bitter heart. It could be a poisonous attitude. It could be snippy little comments you make. Those things are often not confessed. You see, I can confess to you that I was an alcoholic. Maybe you can confess to me that you were a drug addict. Maybe you can confess to me you were a prostitute. Maybe you were a gang member or something else. Something in your life that was horrific and radical, and you can confess that you were delivered from it. You can say, hey, I'm no longer that. We don't have a problem doing that, do we? But oftentimes we're not willing to confess something that's in us right now. That's a bit more difficult to do. We aren't willing to say, hey, you know, I'm just harboring angerness against you. You know, I'm just really bitter about that. And confess it. You see, we don't mind saying what we're over. We just can't seem to confess what we're about today. If I got over something, I don't mind confessing it. If I haven't gotten over it, I can't seem to. And here's the thing. We don't confess that we would secretly enjoy putting people down or making them feel small, making them feel guilty or bad. We might not confess, you see, those things. I might confess something that I used to be, but I don't seem to have any ability to confess what I am. Someone might say, hey, I used to be really sexually promiscuous, you know, in my early days as a non-believer. But you probably won't confess any websites you check out once in a while. You see, it's a whole different deal, what I was versus what I am. And I'll tell you something, folks, all these things are running issues, and the reason they are is because they're not above the surface. Nobody sees them. They're going on and on and on and on. And that's why oftentimes the more blatant sin is a blessing. I can't hide it. I have to confess it. But the problem is, folks, just because a person sees your sin and you confess it doesn't mean your heart is right. The confession comes when God sees your heart. And then you confess. Doesn't matter who sees it or doesn't see it, you see. So what's the answer here? I mean, you know, I got what you're saying. I've got the running issues. I'm sure we all have many. In a room this size with this many people, running issues are constantly something that's going on, aren't they? There's always something that I'm dealing with. There's some running issue within me. There's some running issue that goes on within us constantly. On and on and on it goes. Never seems to end. What's the answer? Well, in verse 12, the vessel of earth that is touched by this issue shall be broken. The earthen vessel, as you are probably aware of, is a representation of us, these bodies. We are in earthen vessels. Remember, we talked about the bird last week that was put in that earthen vessel, that bowl of clay, and killed there, remember? Jesus came and took on an earthen vessel, lived in this world in an earthen vessel. We are earthen vessels, and the earthen vessel that's touched by the running issue, folks, has to be broken. There has to be a brokenness. If I'm going to deal with the running issue in my life, or issues as it might be, the first thing that has to happen, it's necessary for me in my earthiness, in my sinfulness, to be broken. But how does that take place? Well, notice in verse 13, it says, when he that hath this issue is cleansed of his issue. Ah, there's cleansing for the issue. It's not a permanent thing, hopefully. Then he shall number to himself 7 days. Again, seven, the number of completeness. So we have here a picture of this inevitability. If we will be cleansed, there's going to have to be a complete cleansing of this issue. And he's going to wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in, watch this, in running water, and he shall be clean. Now, it's interesting to me that the one with the running issue in his life has to be bathed in his flesh in running water. If there's an ongoing issue in me, then I need the ongoing water. What is that? The water is the word. Now you are clean, Jesus said, by the word which I have spoken unto you. The water is the word. So what is the running water? The running water, the moving water, is living water. It's moving, it's running, it's the Spirit and the water. It's the Holy Spirit empowering the Word of God, and that running continuously over the running issue. If you've got an ongoing issue, obviously you need the ongoing word, because guys, the Spirit empowering the word will run over and over and over that issue. The ongoing issue has to be dealt with by the ongoing word. And in light of that, listen, the word that runs over your issue is going to reveal something. Verse 14, the eighth day he shall take him 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto the priest. And the priest shall offer them, the one for the sin offering, and the other for the burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. If you've got running issues, you need the running word, the running water, the empowered word of God to run over it again and again. And what is going to be revealed by the empowered word of God, folks? The sacrifice. Jesus on the cross, dying for you. The sacrifice here was made. It was an atonement done for the one that had the issue. This is good news for me. Because if I have an issue, a running issue, then there is a running answer. If I've got a running problem, there's a running answer to it. Ongoing. It doesn't matter what my problem is, what my issue is, if it's ongoing and ongoing, if it's under the surface, if it's in a private part of me, then I've got a running answer. It's the Word of God, empowered by His Holy Spirit, who's going to reveal Jesus Christ to me again. You see, when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, applies the blood of Jesus to my running issue, it gets cleansed. But it's the only way. All the running issues that defile people must be dealt with by this continuous washing of the Word that reveals Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And if you have issues today, folks, it's so extremely important that you stay in the Word. What's sad to me is when people have running issues and they pull away. Because obviously, if it's a running issue in a private part of your life, if it starts to get close to the surface, many people will leave. And they won't stay in the Word, because the Word is very revealing. David said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to the word." David also said, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Cleanse me, Lord, from secret faults. You see, and he went on to say, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord." Oftentimes, the reason that running issues keep running on and on and on is frankly because we get a kick out of them. We kind of keep them where they belong, underneath it all, privately, the private part of my life. And I get a kick out of it. I have something that I get from it. And if I cannot let the washing of the Word, empowered by the Spirit, apply the blood of Jesus to it, it's because I really don't want it to be done. I continue that running issue because there's a payoff for me. There's a payoff for you in it. David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. When my heart and my mouth, folks, agree, when what I believe in my heart is truly what I confess with my mouth, what I say is what I really believe in my heart, when that agrees, you see, my running issue in that area will stop. If I truly, in my heart, believe that Jesus Christ cleansed me and has the power to wash me, and I really believe, and that's what I really confess, he'll cleanse my running issue. Well, that's heaven, you say. That'll be heaven when there's no more running issues, no more uncleanness. Well, sure, of course. But the Lord wants us to have a little bit of heaven now. How? By heeding his word, by taking these things to heart and saying, you know what, Lord, I am so tired of running issues. On and on this thing goes. But if I have an infected heart, folks, frankly, most of what comes out of me is vile and poison. And the only way your heart gets clean from that is by running the word over it again and again until there's a cleansing starting to take place and you start realizing that your heart's being revealed and you continue staying under the running water. As soon as that gets revealed, don't head for the door. Don't head for the hills. Don't go running away from it and saying, oh, that was getting a little close to home. You come back and get under the word, the water, the running water again and again and again, until there's a cleansing that takes place. And once it starts to be cleansed, then start looking at it and going, man, is it ugly. Man, is it vile. And what's going to happen is the Spirit of God, through that running water, through that empowered word, is going to show you Jesus again and again. The blood that was shed for you, for that sin, for that running issue. And finally, after a season of being under the running water, that particular running issue will run away. If you don't run away first. If you run away, listen carefully, if you run away and don't keep yourself under the running water of the word to be cleansed, then you don't want to be. You just don't want that thing cleansed. The payoff's too great. Somehow you get a sick charge out of it. How do you know that? Oh, I've got running issues. I've got them. That's why you're hearing about this today. We all do. But I'll tell you something. This is the cure. The cleansing comes when you're under the water of the word and you see Jesus again, because that's exactly who the Spirit's going to reveal every single time. And you see Jesus Christ dying on the cross saying, it's finished. You are forgiven. My blood will cover, cleanse, and wash away all those sins from your life. That payoff, folks, has to be more important than the payoff you get from a running issue in your life. And the way it becomes more valuable to you than that thing that keeps going, running on and on in your life, is by keep hearing it. Keep hearing it. Keep hearing the word. Keep seeing Jesus Christ over and over and watch and see what happens. Bitterness starts to fade away. anger, envy, secret little sins, they become smaller and weaker, and they run away eventually. Stay in the Word. Stay close to Jesus. The running issues can run your life right into the ground. Don't let it be today. Don't let it be. Make a choice today. You're going to get into the running water of the Word as much as possible and let Him cleanse and wash those running issues. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that even though this is true, spiritually, Father, we have issues. We have sinful, secret sins. We have hearts sometimes, Lord, that are harboring bitterness and anger and jealousy and envy and whatever else, Lord. Poisonous stuff. I just pray for all of us today that You would be, Lord, working in us and drawing us, Lord, to Your Word, and that we would take the cleansing and we would hear, Lord, the Word that shows us again Your Son, the power of Jesus' name, the power of Jesus' sacrifice, the blood applied to my flowing issue, Lord, my running issue. Lord, apply Your blood to it. Apply it, Lord, today. Even as we've been looking at the water of the Word, would You do a work in us, even now, even today, Lord, begin to cleanse that. I pray for the poison, Lord, of our hearts, that it would be purified, cleansed, that we wouldn't be a church, Father, that spreads any poison, that we wouldn't be those that defile each other, that spew stuff on each other, that we wouldn't be those, Lord, that would talk about each other in ways that aren't right. But we would be, Lord, like You are, honest and loving and pure, looking for ways to truly bless each other, not pretend to bless and really curse, not have an agenda, but simply want what You want. May we be more like You today, Father. And while we're praying, I just want to pray with us all today. If you've got some running issue that is really causing you to be aware this morning, as we've been talking, and you're just saying, you know, I know what you're saying, and I've got one of those or 10 of them, and I would like prayer for that running issue, the Lord would cleanse it, that He would apply His blood to it today, right now. Why don't you slip your hand up if you've got, yeah, yep, see you over there, see you back there, yeah, see you over here, lots of you, yep, running issues, got them, yeah, yep, see you, all kinds of them, and Lord, You see them all. You see our hearts even when nobody else does. And Lord, doesn't matter how private we think it is, nothing is hidden from You. And as David declared, Lord, would You cleanse us from secret faults? Wash us, Lord, from the secret sin. Cleanse our hearts, Lord, from bitterness and envy and ugliness. For all these, Lord, issues, for all the issues that are here, the same thing applies. We need the blood of Jesus, the running water over our running issue. Cleanse us today, Lord. Cleanse all these issues. Oh, free us up, Father, so we can walk right, so we don't have these things coming back again and again and again, going over and over and over them. Lord, may they be wiped out. May they run off and never come back. Cleanse this church, Father. Purge us and wash us. We commit ourselves to You, and I thank You for Your word today. May our day today be more blessed because we've come to you and spent time in your word, in your presence. Thanks for being here, for doing that in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.